morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. So glad to be along with you on this wonderful Thursday, April 30th. It's 7:06 in the morning, and if it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. The studio line is 503-589-1220. KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use on this Thursday and every single day, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I'm just so glad that you tune in each and every day. I'm having so much fun connecting with you. Thank you for your emails, your Facebook reviews, your encouragement. It's been so fun, even though starting out here during a pandemic. I mean, who would have thought launching a radio program right in the middle of the pandemic? But it's been so neat and so encouraging to me. And hopefully it's been a dose of encouragement and a breath of fresh air to you every morning as you're getting up. And even though you may only be going from your living room to the kitchen, you know, to the back room of your house, because we're still on kind of this hold down, we're glad to have you tuning in. And be sure to like us on Facebook and tell your family and friends they can listen online. They can listen at 1220 AM or 104.3 FM. And looking at the local news brought to you today by Country Financial Sunderland Agency, Bill Sunderland. You can give him a call at 503-885-0789. We got the news yesterday. I don't know if you caught this in the headlines, but the Oregon parks will continue to be closed. Originally announced on March 22nd to be reopened May 8th, the parks in our great state of Oregon, they have extended that now. The department made overnight reservation cancellations until May 25th. Cancellations, any refunds will be coming back to you. And so that is something to make you aware, especially if you were planning on some camping trips the end of the month, as people like to go out and about around Memorial Day weekend. Other breaking news is the Oregon Employment Department announced that they're ready to begin processing unemployment claims for Oregonians if they're self-employed and not subject to unemployment insurance tax, perform work as an independent contractor, perform work not subject to unemployment insurance tax, such as agricultural workers, did not earn enough wages or work enough hours to qualify for regular unemployment benefits, or you've exhausted regular unemployment benefits and not eligible for any kind of extension. So you need to get a hold of them. You can give them a call. They have applications. And so get a hold of them at govstatus.egov.com and look more into that. And then you may have heard too in the headlines, several Oregonians are rallying. In fact, they're coming from all parts of Oregon to the Capitol. Coming up this Saturday, there is a nonpartisan, meaning everybody from every party, every part of Oregon, coming in May 2nd at noon right here at the Capitol, a grassroots citizens group of Oregonians coming to say, hey, let's open Oregon up. And we'll be talking about that a little more as we go. Looking at the COVID-19 numbers here in Oregon, so far since January 24th, 54,472 tests have been given. Out of those, only 2,446 tests were positive. There's 227 people hospitalized with confirmed or suspected COVID-19. And we've lost 101 Oregonians to COVID-19. And so keeping those folks and family in our prayers during this particular time, but we certainly are seeing more and more that people are ready to get out and about. We're flattening the curve. It's time to get back to business as usual. And of course, it's going to be a new usual. We've been talking about that. I like that a little bit better than a new normal. And in keeping you educated, informed, and encouraged, I've brought back a guest that was here, I think, maybe the first couple weeks that I was on the air with the show, right as this pandemic was getting started and our community was really in an interesting place. Kevin Mannix, who is a friend of Salem and particularly a friend of East Salem, an attorney. He's served in the legislature. He has a good feel about Oregon, and he's agreed to kind of help me out and get through a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about candidates, but he's been very involved in East Salem, working with the Catholic school system and working with the community center. And I've asked him to come in and kind of brief us on what's going on. So glad to have you here, Kevin. Thank you for being a part of the morning show this morning. And thank you for your wisdom and your insight that you've allowed me to kind of pick your brain on things and get your input. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and you're welcome. I'm pleased to be here at this early hour of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time to talk about community and education and all of the things which confront us during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we ought to be putting things in perspective in terms of the good things that people do. And that's where the community center and schools. I want to mention our Salem-Keizer School District, wonderful people, they have their own mission.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic schools here in Salem have a different mission in the sense that we are faith-centered, but we're not exclusive.
Right.
Many of the people that go to our Catholic schools are folks of faith, but not Catholic,
mm-hmm.
Although the majority of folks attending those schools are members of the Catholic Church. And we've got parish schools as well as Blanchette Catholic School.
Mm-hmm.
Blanchette Catholic School runs grades 6 through 12, and it's an independent Catholic school.
Oh.
It's named after the first Catholic Archbishop of the Northwest, Archbishop Francis Norbert Blanchette. And by the way, his family pronounced it with the hard T, even though they were of French heritage.
Okay.
That's a little trivia point for
mm-hmm.
you. But we established Blanchette as an independent Catholic school that opened in 1995 to serve the broader Salem community grades. At the beginning, it was started with mid-high.
Mm-hmm.
Then every year we added grades until we finally have now had grades 6 through 12. I say independent. It's sort of a franchise of the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's approved by the church in terms of us being faithful to the
right.
faith, but there's no ownership, there's no control of administration, and there's no financing from the Catholic Church. This is a school that's completely supported by our families and by the community. And now we're in our 25th year of celebration. I led the team that founded the school and was chairman of the board for 23 years. But I want to emphasize the word team. This school wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the devoted work of hundreds of people over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who've come in to support us financially, volunteers who work with the school, the administrators, the staff, the teachers, and then the families that are all involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created this cohesive educational community where we do pray. We pray every day,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, our Christian brethren who attend Blanchette, who are not Catholic, feel comfortable because we don't proselytize and say, well, you know, you ought to be a member of our faith. And with that comfort level, we've found that people gravitate towards the school. Now, Blanchette is then a mid-high and high school, but there are also parish schools. In South Salem, there's Queen of Peace Parish, which has a preschool through grade 5.
Mm-hmm.
In Central Salem, we've got St. Joseph's School, another parish school. In North Salem, we've got St. Vincent de Paul School. And so the parish schools are there for the lower grades, and then you've got Blanchette serving the entire community. I should also mention that up in Jervis, I call it a sister school because it's a little bit outside the reach of Salem. We have Sacred Heart.
Oh, okay.
And they're more of a country Catholic school in the
mm-hmm.
sense that they're a smaller school serving the needs of their community in the, I'll say, the greater Jervis area. So Blanchette's connected with all of them. And then we have a Salem Area Catholic Schools Association that works with all of them. And I'm president of that association. But we also have a foundation. And Paul Conley is president of the Salem Catholic Schools Foundation. So all of this has come together over the years. And this is folks from this community
right.
supporting these schools.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the schools have maintained their enrollment despite the pandemic.
Right.
They have also initiated education programs. Blanchette has an online continuing education program with teachers participating with the students. Queen of Peace is doing this. There are other ways that the Zoom meetings that are being held. I know I've talked to a St. Vincent de Paul teacher 2 days ago who had just finished having a Zoom meeting
mm-hmm.
with her students. They are working hard to keep the education programs going forward. But now it's also registration time.
Oh, wow.
And that's the concern that the schools faces. Folks need to understand that they do have tuition assistance programs, mm-hmm. and they really do want to talk to families who want to consider sending their kids to these schools. I mean, part of what makes them work is having families and kids involved and having people take a look at things. So there, I will mention, there is a website for Blanchett, which is www.blanchettcatholicschool.com. Queen of Peace, all of them are www. That's qpschool.org. St. Joseph is school.stjosephchurch.com. St. Vincent de Paul is svdpschoolsalem.org. And Sacred Heart is school.shstl.org. Now, if someone didn't write that down and they want to contact me, they can always contact me at my law practice. I actually have had a law firm here for 34 years, and it's kevin@mannix.com. And so if you want contact information, send me an email, kevin@mannixlawfirm.com. I'd be glad to get back to you with the right contact information. But think about the future of your kids, parents mm-hmm. out there. Yes.
Right.
I shouldn't use the word recruitment, but let's just say we're advertising enrollment for all the schools. And you've let me wrap on here.
No,
but I wanted to get this message out.
I think it's great information, and here is why. Talking with many parents that are at home trying to do this at-home education piece, and what I know from visiting with you before, you were ahead of the curve with a lot of this online and helping, and you had a lot of these systems already in place. And I think people are looking at the public school system going and realizing at home, dealing with the subjects that they're dealing with and what the kids are getting, and they're like, whoa, I didn't realize this is what they're studying. You know, where are the core things that they should be studying? These are the things that I'm hearing. And the teachers oftentimes are in the public school system, the district sets the standards and sets what they're to do, you know, and then it's, you know, they have to come up with their lesson plans and things like that. And so even those that teachers that I know are in the public school system, it's a struggle right now for them. And I think people are open to looking at how am I going to make sure my kids are getting what they need differently with the values that are important to them. And I think it is a great time for people to evaluate what's best for my kids. And I think the timing is perfect for you to share this information.
I want to emphasize that I support our public schools.
Absolutely.
And I believe that the Salem-Keizer School District works very hard, but they also have a challenge.
Yes.
There's two challenges. When I was a legislator, people used to say, why are you sending your kids to Catholic school? And I say, well, I happen to be Catholic, and I want my kids to be able to pray.
Right.
And I know we can't require the public schools to have prayer, but our Catholic schools do have prayer, and so that's where I want my child to be. That was my short answer that I would give. Systemically, we're also dealing with the challenges that the school district has in terms of families don't always have the capability to communicate online because of poverty.
Exactly.
And they have social issues that they have to address. Our Catholic schools are more customized, and families that have limited resources, we're able to reach out
you
and help them.
Support them. When we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit more about how you support each and every family in your Catholic school system. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, Stacy Ann with Kevin Mannix on this wonderful Thursday. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in on this Thursday. It's 7:22 in the morning. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And we're talking about schools, Salem community. I have Kevin Mannix here with me. And Kevin was sharing with us about the Catholic school system here within Salem. And we were talking during the break about the challenge in Oregon is the high school graduation rate. What I'm understanding is we rank like 49th as far as those graduating. And I know other states where I used to live in South Dakota, they have They had instituted a program that you're mandated to be in school until you're 18. There's no dropping out of school in South Dakota. You have to go through your 18. Then if you're 18 and you haven't finished, I guess at that point you can. But I know that there are things that people can do. And I think as parents, having had five kids and walking them through their, you know, promotion into adulthood, it is something that we struggle with. And I think sometimes it comes to finances. Sometimes it comes to, you know, what's best for your kids. And you were sharing with me about your graduation rate and how that works there in your system of schools.
Well, our graduation rate is 100%. And this is for Blanchet Catholic mm-hmm. School. And 98% of our graduates go on to college. Every year, one or two will go into military service. We commend that.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see our students going anywhere to nationally renowned universities, to state universities, to regional universities, and also our very strong Chemeketa Community College. But the whole point is that Blanchet has to focus its mission somewhat. So it's based on family and faith, but it's also based on academic excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I want to say that there are other needs a community has to address. And for instance, the Salem Kaiser Public Schools have done a really good job of trying to turn back around to having a vocational technical education,
mm-hmm.
which is so important for our kids and
yes.
the community as a whole. Blanchet does not pretend to have everything there. On the other hand, we have a dynamic STEM program where we're developing a makerspace that's opening up this year. In other words, for the kids who are academically oriented, who are looking towards that kind of, I'll say, college prep education.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to add very quickly that that does not have to do with social status or economic status.
Right.
It has to do what your goals and what your drive are all about. And Blanchet responds to that in a community way. With small class sizes, our pupil-teacher ratio is about one teacher per 15 students. And I have to add, 25 years ago when we were proposing Blanchet, mm-hmm. I still remember the Archdiocese said, well, you really, to be practical economically, you should say 1 to 25. And our response was, that's not the academic excellence we want to talk
right,
about.
Right.
And something else I mentioned to you during the break, I've been going through some of the old records, and at the end of our very first year, our 7th and 8th graders took these standardized national tests. And this is our first year.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the top 12% nationally, even in the first year. So I'm very proud of what we've done with this school to nurture it and to develop academic excellence, but a sense of family and faith and a sense of community where people feel comfortable participating, where over 40% of the families need tuition assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't discriminate on that. Tuition assistance is based on the family wanting to be there. Some people said, well, you should have a special Catholic rate. And we said, we're not subsidized by the Catholic Church.
That's right.
We are subsidized by our community generally. And it's based on the need of the family, not based on the faith, as long as they're participants in our school.
You know, what you just shared with me really excites me, because my own personal experience, moved here in 5th grade, went through the Salem Kaiser Public School system all the way through graduation, okay? And so coming from a working class family, no one had been to college. My mom had gone to training to be, you know, a beautician. But no, and my dad had been in the Army. So there was no college background for ever in my family. And so I was never coached or trained. I was asked, when you graduate, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? And everybody's going, I'm going to this college and I'm going to that college. And I was like, oh, maybe get married and have a family someday. I mean, I really didn't. College was not in my expectation, because that seed wasn't planted in me. Guess what? I won scholarships I didn't apply for because of my involvement, my academics. And all of a sudden, at the end of graduation, I've got money to go to college. And I know nothing about financial aid. I know nothing about prepping or how to. I had no one in my family, let alone anybody within the school system. And I was very involved. And so it excites me to hear that there's a plan, and it doesn't matter what their economic, where they're at in their family. They can have whatever they want to do. You're going to have people looking out for them to show them what opportunities are. And in my life, thank goodness, then I had people when I had the scholarships and I got to get to go. Sounds like I went to college. I got to go to college. I have my degree. I was the first one in my family, and it opens opportunities.
Let me give you an example of conversation I had recently with this couple. And I didn't know their background, but I discerned that they're Latino, and, mm-hmm. and I do speak Spanish. Puedo conversar en español.
Beautiful.
And I discerned that they each had about a second grade education, but mm-hmm. they cared about their kids' future. And as they were talking to me, they told me two of their kids had gone to Planchette and had graduated. They were so proud that they were going on to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt so good about hearing that. And then a couple of years ago, there was a woman from Falls City, mm-hmm. single mom, whose daughter went to Planchette and graduated. And I remember at graduation, she came up in tears mm-hmm. to talk to me about how the school had supported her and her child. So we are not, I'll say this, we're not a rich kids school.
Mm-hmm.
But we are rich in our academics, we're rich in our sense of community, and we're rich in our sense of faith. And that is what people gravitate towards. And I'm so pleased to see that we're continuing on. And yes, we have other things. We just put in a brand new sports field with a track mm-hmm. and a turf football and soccer field. I mean, those are important too for the high school and mid-high experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want to add the parish schools are also part of our educational
right.
structure, but a lot of people transfer into Planchette after going to public school or other schools mm-hmm. through grade 5.
Yes, so there's an awesome opportunity. If you know, maybe you're a grandparent and you're hearing this and you know that your kids are looking for an opportunity with your grandchildren to do something different too, you know, I would explore, do you have like orientation? Do you have, I know right now with COVID-19, so much of that is on lockdown, the one-on-one and stuff, but is there videos online where they can explore the schools? What kind of resources?
You can go to the websites to mm-hmm. get information, and also if people want to tour the schools, they can still do so individually under proper social distancing guidelines,
yes.
and the like. Those arrangements can be made.
Okay, well, so good to get all this information. We will continue the conversation after this break. We are going to get into a little bit about local politics. Kevin, I want to talk to you about some of the candidates that are around the corner. In just a couple weeks, we're going to have an election, so we'll get into that. And also, I want to talk about the community center, too. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news you can use on this Thursday. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you on this wonderful Thursday. You know, I had someone ask me the other day the songs that I use. The beginning song and the ending song. That's with Mandisa. I don't know if you know who Mandisa is, but she was on one of those shows, you know, where she was discovered as a voice, you know, and she has some great music out there. You might want to look her up. And I like getting us started with a little pep in the morning. Some of us are more morning persons than others, and I happen to be one of those. And so thank you for tuning in today. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM at 7:36. And I have Kevin Mannix in the studio with me this morning. Thank you for agreeing to come early.
Glad
in
to
the
be
morning.
Here. Yes, I'm a night person, not a morning person, but I'm
best,
here.
You get the best work done and ideas probably in the evening. I get them first thing in the morning. And you know what? What I've noticed with my time that I've spent with you is that you are a visionary. You see things, and you not only do you have the vision for it, but you also have the mechanism to put structure to it and actually put motion to it in a lot of different areas. It sounds like in the time God has just kind of created you in that way, and it's so important to have those people in our lives because you are almost like the pioneer spirit here in Oregon. And you make a path so others can follow. And one of these things, we talked about the Catholic school system, and I want to ask you real quick about any events and things that have been postponed. How you talk about being funded by the community and by and all these scholarships and things. Is there anything in the future, any kind of event, any way that people can partner? What do they do to get involved that way?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because actually the schools do have fundraising events, and a number of them have been canceled because mm-hmm. of the pandemic. pandemic situation. I'd encourage folks who want some information, they can go to the websites I mentioned, but also someone they can email to ask for information or contact information. She's going to hate me for saying this. Dana, D-A-N-A, at SalemCatholicSchools.org. She is our executive assistant for the Catholic Schools Association and the Catholic Schools Foundation, and she can vector folks to the proper school and their websites. And at the same time, we do have the East Salem Community Center, and she helps us run that facility also. So she is a central connected person for what we do. Dana at SalemCatholicSchools.org. Hi, Dana. Wonderful person.
Thank you, Dana, for what you do each and every day to facilitate all of that work. So tell me about the community center. What is it, and what kind of what do you provide to this part of Salem?
Well, our brethren with the Salem Christian Center had a facility that they built in 1999, a beautiful facility on 13 acres, 50,000 square feet of space. They had a worship center with 700 seats, a fellowship hall that could seat 300, and they ran into financial challenges and put it on the market. So we put together an investor to come in and buy the facility. And in January of 2015, we opened it up with an independent foundation to operate it as the East Salem Community Center. So we've been in operation since January 2015. And we provide a base of operations, a facility for Head Start. The Salem Kaiser Public Schools have about 180 Head Start kids usually go to school there. Right now, by the way, the school district is using the facility for a daycare facility for children of first responders.
Oh, sure.
Something that hasn't been publicized, but it's the school district program. But they're using the facility for children of first responders who are called to duty and they need to have some daycare support. Normally, though, there's a Head Start program. We also have got out there the Community Action Agency, which helps folks with challenged income in terms of their energy costs. We have the Mid-Valley Literacy Center, which helps people with English literacy as well as upgrading their English literacy. It's a wonderful literacy program. The Pacific Justice Institute has offices there, and they provide legal advocacy for religious freedom.
A
wonderful advocacy organization. Then we've got, I'm trying to make sure I cover all my bases.
Yes.
On Sundays, right now in the mornings, St. Joseph Church has a Spanish Mass at 10 a.m. attended with a full house.
Wow.
700 people in that, what is now an auditorium, which was an Assemblies of God church. It's now an auditorium, but it's used as a worship center on Sundays. And there is another Christian church on Sunday evenings that has services there. So we've got all of that going on, but Northwest Family Services has offices there. KCCS has its radio tower there.
Yes.
And we're developing playing fields for the community. But more important than anything else, I think, in terms of the local community, we provide a facility for events.
Right.
So especially on Saturday evenings, there are families that put on quinceañeras for their daughters who are turning 15. We have receptions. Sometimes we have conferences. The whole point is we've created a facility in East Salem to serve the needs of the East Salem community as well as the greater Salem community.
Right.
I should pitch in to Salem Catholic Schools Foundation and Salem Catholic Schools Association, share an office at this site. So our community has this outreach, and I think the Literacy Center is a wonderful program to help people enhance their literacy skills. They work with the business community, and it especially has to do with Spanish-speaking workers who need to develop their English skills, but also immigrants who've come here, say, from Europe, Eastern Europe, who are learning English. I've been very impressed with the programs they put on. So all of this is tied to what do we do to help enhance the capabilities of people in our community, but also let them enjoy their community with family events.
Well, and it's essential that we serve those in all areas. And when I'm looking at Salem and I'm looking at the demographics and I'm getting familiar again with this town that I was raised in, over 25% of our community is Hispanic. And what I remember from growing up, a lot of the Hispanics, immigrants coming in were like first generation. And now, coming back, many of my classmates are owning businesses. They're college educated. They're second generation immigrants and now having their children and grandchildren. And it's really interesting to see the dynamics there and how many business owners in this area, you know, are Hispanic.
And we should respond to that. I always like to, I'm Irish, I'd like to remind my brethren out there, the folks with the German background, Italian background, mm-hmm. Irish background. Hey, we all were immigrants here
That's
at one time.
Right.
And now we're seeing another wave of immigrants. Latino immigrants have very strong family values, mm-hmm. and we can build on that and respond to that. At the same time, they've come from countries with limited education, limited economic capability. They're here to succeed, and we want to do what we can to support that with the East Salem Community Center.
Well, that's awesome. And so if someone wants to get involved,
I want to hear from them. And actually, if you're a businessman or someone with some success and you have some money,
yes.
I am trying to fundraise to continue to support this. We're 5 years in. Mm-hmm. And they can reach me at kevin@mannixlawfirm.com. I want to add quickly, I'm not compensated for what I do for the Catholic schools or the community center.
Right.
This is a community service. So, this guy is, I'm not commissioned. I'm not compensated.
Right.
I never have been. I do this for the community. If someone wants to hire my law firm, we're glad to do that and make money doing that. But we're not paid for this work.
This is your passion. This
yeah.
is your calling.
Yeah.
And you do the law work to help you.
Actually, yeah, my law firm subsidizes this other stuff. Thank you, clients.
Yes. And the reality is that all of us are designed to do good. I believe we are designed and to find our area of calling and what we're designed for. And it's neat to see that you're not only working in your lane of what you're designed for, but you're helping others find theirs. And part of fundraising and part of investing in our community, everybody has something that they're passionate about. And if you don't, and you don't know what your legacy thing is, what a great opportunity here in Salem, right in our backyard, to partner up with a community center that touches many lives. Let me ask you this. You're talking about renting out the facility. You're renting out rooms. Do you rent out, like, offices if someone has a little nonprofit and they want to get going? Would you rent rooms to them on a regular
yes.
basis or office? Office space, things
we do.
Like that. Okay.
In fact, we have office suites that we've made available. And again, if people are interested in that, they should, I'd say, email Dana.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a separate email for the East Salem Community Center, which I don't have in front of me.
Right,
so I'll
right.
mention dana@salemcatholicschools.org because she can be reached that way.
Okay.
And not because this is not a Salem Catholic Schools center.
Right.
It happens to be, I'll call it one of our second cousins.
Right. There you go. That works out well. And it all works together. And again, the location of this is where?
It's at, the address is 1850 45th Avenue Northeast. It's the entrance is about a block and a half south of Sunnyview Road
mm-hmm.
on 45th Avenue. And if you think of Swagel School, it's a little northeast of Swagel School. But for those who know where Blanchette Catholic School is,
mm-hmm.
the East Adam Community Center is actually two blocks east.
Okay.
And it's off 45th Avenue Northeast.
And right before the shutdown, I had an opportunity to go to a meeting there that you invited us to. Tell me a little bit about the Rotary meeting that was meeting
there. Oh, the
there.
East Salem yeah. Rotary Club yep. has, until the shutdown, had been, well, tried out the facility.
Right.
Had an initial meeting there. I remember
mm-hmm.
you were there. And yes, I'm trying to, I'm negotiating with them as to whether they want to make that their permanent home.
Yes.
And the discussions continue. But that's another example of a community organization, a nonprofit that we do want to have operating out of this facility. It's all about nonprofits serving the community.
And if you have a training coming up, once COVID and the restrictions, you want to train people, you have something, an event, maybe you have a parachurch organization looking for a fundraising space or whatever, I encourage you. To have this in is a real gem. Most communities, it's very difficult to find meeting rooms over 200 that doesn't cost an arm and a leg pretty much to rent for their fundraisers and things for their nonprofits. So what a great resource right here in our own backyard. We're going to continue the discussion after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use. Follow us online, KSLM.news, or on Facebook. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. 7:50 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're talking about community center. We're talking about Catholic school systems this morning. I have Kevin Mannix in the studio with me, and I pulled up on the website here, East Salem Community Center, and it's very easy to find, eastsalemcommunitycenter.com. And right there, you have an opportunity to see even where there's some space for rent and the fellowship hall. If you have something going on in the future that you want to facilitate a meeting, you know, when we get out of all this COVID-19 shutdown stuff, you know, we're going to want to get back together. And certainly nonprofits, I think of like the different nonprofits even that we've had on the air, like the Pregnancy Center in different places, you know, a lot of times they'll have dinners, and it looks like a gorgeous facility to connect with and use. And it has a contact form right on the website, eastsalemcommunitycenter.com. And I'd encourage you to check that out, or maybe you know somebody that has a, maybe like 50th birthday party, or a, you know, a family reunion, or something like that going on. Certainly do that. And Kevin, as we were talking earlier, when I called you to say, hey, why don't you come on the show and tell me what's been going on, we also talked a little bit because you have a background. You've been an elected leader. You've been involved. In fact, how I met you was at a Republican meeting where you were emceeing or facilitating the communication of that meeting, and introduced myself to you. And you have some history, and you know kind of the landscape when it comes to politics. So I've asked you to kind of share with me and educate me, help me, bring me up to speed of what's going on in the climate here, because we know we have a supermajority. Not only do we have it in our state house, we have a governor who's a Democrat, we have a supermajority, meaning they control it all on the Democrat side. Now, I have this big thing that I say, you know, when God looks down, he doesn't look at Democrat or Republican, he looks at things that line up with him in my worldview. This is my worldview, you know, my Christian faith worldview. And so I really encourage people to vote your values. If your values are like mine, and pro-life, and you know, those kinds of things, vote for candidates who line up most with your values. I think that's a good place to be, from my perspective, to encourage people. I've known some incredible Democrats who are very pro-life, very conservative, and I've known some Republicans the same, and I've known some very liberal Republicans, you know, so it's all over the board depending on the individual. So when you have COVID-19, you can't get to know these individuals. And so in my effort in the next couple of weeks, I want to try to bring some folks in, and I think I'm going to focus on the contested races. So tell me a little bit of what you're seeing out there, whether it be city council, commission, state races. What are you seeing out there?
Well, time is limited, so I will talk about contested races. And for our listeners, I'll mention that I'm a bipartisan kid because my mother was a Democrat and my dad was a Republican.
There you go.
And I do have fun. I've been part of the Oregon delegation to the last 5 Republican national conventions. But when people say, well, how many conventions have you gone to? I always like to start out by saying, well, if I include the 1972 Democratic National Convention in Miami Beach, Florida, when I was a George McGovern delegate from Virginia and their jaws dropped.
Oh, boy.
and I started out as a Democrat legislator.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, the Democratic Party and I split ways because I am pro-life, and the Democratic Party's platform position is divergent from my views on
right.
that. But also, I'm more conservative about certain fiscal matters, and the Democratic Party was moving in that direction. Neither party is perfect, but personally, I am more comfortable within the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I'm very upset with people that throw partisan bombs at one side or the other.
Exactly.
The label mongering. I think we need to focus on the individual candidates and
yes.
their capabilities.
Yes.
And that's the way we do best in our elections. Now, right now, we're having a primary election, so it's Republicans voting for Republicans and Democrats voting for Democrats. And those choices then are limited to that field of candidates. And when we look at the U.S. Senate side, for instance, it's pretty easy to say if you're a Democrat, Jeff Merkley, the incumbent Democrat senator, is on the ballot, and he's the one you vote for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Republican, there are actually four Republicans that are vying for the Republican nomination. And I've looked at their qualifications. I happen to think that Jobe Perkins, of the four, has the best qualifications to be a candidate to run against Jeff Merkley. When we look at other races, we look at Congress, the 5th Congressional District. Well, if you're a Democrat, we have a Democrat member of Congress who I've known personally since before he was in Congress, and I happen to think that Kurt Schrader is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he has a couple of opponents in the primary, I'd say to my Democrat friends, Kurt Schrader deserves your support. On the Republican side, there are, the last time I looked, yes, there's four folks running,
mm-hmm.
but one of those candidates, Amy Ryan Courser, appears best qualified mm-hmm. to present a challenge to Kurt Schrader.
Okay.
So I'd say Democrat Schrader, Republicans, Courser. Now, these are my personal views.
Sure, sure. I've asked you for them, yep.
And yet when we get to, say, state treasurer, the Democrats have got their incumbent Tobias Reed, and he can make a case that he's doing a good job. The Republicans have got Jeff Goodman, who ran last time, came very close, and has an excellent background, and I think will make a very strong candidate. On the attorney general side, Ellen Rosenblum is running unopposed in the Democratic primary, so there's a natural to vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans have got Michael Cross running again. He's run before, but he has a story to tell, and and deserves consideration and could, again, give the voters a real choice in November. The presidential contest should be mentioned. The Republicans only get to vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
He's the only one on the ballot. But the Democrats could still vote for Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Tulsi Gabbard,
mm-hmm.
who is the congresswoman from Hawaii. Now, if you want to be naughty and you want to give
right.
Vice President Biden, who will have the nomination, a little elbow, I'm just mentioning there are other people
right,
you can
right,
vote for.
Right, right, right.
Oregonians have been known to do their own thing about some
yes.
of these things. Looking at the state representative races, the Republicans in this area have one contested race that's a real hot contest.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the 17th District, which is East Marion County, Linn County,
mm-hmm.
all that area. And I'm aware that there are four strong candidates, and I'll mention the four. The others, there are seven, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
The four that I would look at are Scott Sword, excuse me, Timothy Kirsch, Susan Coleman, and Jamie Kate.
Okay.
Those four seem to be the strongest candidates, and folks can evaluate which one they want to choose. Among the Democrats, I'm trying to look here to see if we have a contested race that's the only one I see here is the 19th District, and I don't know enough about those individuals, so I'll leave that alone. I'm sort of uncertain about some of these races because I always want to have a sense of
right.
who's running. I have a definite opinion in terms of the commissioner race. As far as Marion County goes, there's only one Republican candidate, Danielle Bethel, and she is excellent.
Mm.
She's on the Salem Kaiser School Board. She's the
Chamber.
Executive Director for
mm-hmm.
the Kaiser Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very impressive. The Democrats have two candidates, Dan Norton and Ashley Carson Cottingham.
Mm-hmm.
I'd encourage people to look at their voters' pamphlet statement and see what they have to say about the issues.
I'm excited to have Danielle booked on Tuesday next week, so we'll get to know her a little bit as we continue to book people. We'll certainly get to know these folks. Thank you for your insight on the candidates, and we've got to do our homework, my friends. It's a little bit different. They're not coming to our doors.
I should have mentioned the Secretary of State race, but we'll have to talk about that at another time. But Senator Kim Thatcher on the Republican side, she's really a wonderful candidate. And there's a real contest going on the Democrat side, and folks need to look at that very carefully.
Do our research and do our due diligence. We'll pursue this a little more as we continue along. Thank you for tuning in today. KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, hanging out with Kevin Mannix. Thank you, Kevin, for your time today.
My pleasure.
We'll do it again soon. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what's facing you today, you are an overcomer. Have a fantastic day, my friends.